Good morning. In reflecting on the words in our scripture readings this weekend, it occurred to me how much even myself, and I think most of us, have adopted something in our secular culture which is unchristian. We have adopted the idea that we need to stay out of each other's business. And for a Christian, this simply is not true. For a Christian, our scripture readings tell us that we are to be responsible for one another. In fact, our first reading goes so far as to say that if you see somebody doing something wrong and you don't warn them about their wicked ways, then you're the one who's going to be responsible for their condemnation. Let me say that again. If you see somebody doing something wrong and you don't dissuade them, you're responsible for the death they incur from their wickedness. That's what God is teaching us as Christians. And Jesus in the gospel today teaches us a way or steps to take to help somebody, to actually help correct them and not just to condemn them or to judge them. I'd ask you to consider for a moment, when's the last time a fellow Christian sinned against you? Or perhaps you felt offended by them? Could have been in the parking lot this morning. Maybe it's a spouse who was angry with you, or a spouse who provoked you. Maybe somebody stole something from you, especially if you're a child. Say you were playing and one of your siblings or your friends came and just took a toy from you or tripped you on the playground. Maybe it's somebody who gossiped about you or posted something on Facebook about you that wasn't true or distorted the truth. The gospel gives us a model today for how to react to these instances. The first step, Jesus says, is to go to that person by yourself. And often this is the first misstep that we take. I was thinking of just this last week. I was trying to find an example, and it right away occurred to me how many times just in the last week when something went wrong, I'd go griping to somebody else. And don't we all do that? When Jesus is asking us to do just the opposite, to go back to that person that offended us and to ask them. And I think the purpose is twofold. Number one, when we go back to the person who's offended us, a lot of times we find out that there was really no offense intended at all. There's no sin there. Remember, a sin is when somebody knows something is wrong and chooses to do it anyway. We find out that maybe they were just having a bad day or the words came out of their mouth wrong. But yet we stand there in judgment with our hurt feelings. Number one, we need to go back to the person who hurt us and talk to them alone. If indeed they have sinned against us, we also give them the opportunity at that point to repent, to simply say, I'm sorry, and to defuse the whole situation. But if they persist in their sin, then Jesus gives us a second step. That's when we get two or three other people, not to gossip about the person, not to gang up on them, but what does Jesus say? To establish the facts. So that we can go back to that person with the truth and say, Bob or whoever I'm confronting, this is what you did. And here are a couple other people who know that you did it too. So we confront them with the truth, but always in love. If they indeed persist in their sin even beyond this step, that is when Jesus tells us to go to the church. That is the wider church body, And it's most appropriate, of course, to go to the representatives of that body. First and foremost, this would be the bishop and his delegates, that is, the priests. A good example of this is politicians who vote pro-choice or do not uphold the dignity of life in their voting record. Often a local priest will have talked to them, or even a parishioner. And often it works its way up to where the bishop needs to sit down with them. What's interesting, though, is also how the bishops have handled this unique case. A lot of people gripe. They say, well, why don't the bishops kick these politicians out of the church? Why don't they excommunicate them? And many, many Catholics believe that this is what should be done. Well, look at the fourth step. Jesus says, if they indeed don't listen to the church, then treat them as a Gentile or a tax collector. Does it say kick them out? No. But it does change the way we approach them and the way we treat them. Now, what does it mean to treat somebody as a Gentile or a tax collector? Because in our society, we don't really have tax collectors unless you count that nasty letter we get from the IRS every year. And what is a Gentile? A Gentile is a non-Jew, at least in the eyes of, or in the context of what Jesus was saying. And in the context of the community that Matthew was writing to in the gospel, it would have been either a non-Jew or an early non-Christian. And so let's go back and look at how did Jesus treat Gentiles and tax collectors. Well, number one, Jesus said that he was there to bring the gospel, the good news, to the people of God, to the Jews primarily. But he did not exclude the Gentiles. A good example is the woman at the well. Jesus begins a conversation with her, asking her for water. But he soon confronts her with the truth, saying to her, you've been married 7 times, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. So he doesn't shy away from telling her the truth, but she also responds with an openness to the truth. He says, if you would have known who I am, I would have given you living water. And she says, Lord, give me this water. She wants the truth. She wants something more than her sin. So that's one way we can approach each other. If we get to that last step, is to still confront each other with the truth, but always be open in conversation and be ready to receive that person back into the fold. You also look at how Jesus treated tax collectors, Matthew being one of them, that he sat and he had dinner with them. He listened to them, and he taught them. And again, he was ready to welcome them into this community of faith. This must be our response to somebody who's gone so far as to deny all these other previous steps. Our response is to continue the conversation and to welcome them when they decide they want to return. Going back to us for a second to this case of the bishops and the politicians, many people I know, talking to them over the past couple years, have been very angry that the bishops haven't done more to curtail these public officials who do not uphold the dignity of life in their voting record. And I know a lot of people who, especially remember in seminary, we'd sit around and gripe about all the people we wish we could kick out of the church. I think we all do that on some level, right? Wouldn't the church be better without this group or that group or these notorious sinners? The problem is, guys, where do we draw the line? Do we draw the line at a politician or a fornicator or an adulterer? Do we draw the line at a certain age or a certain mental capacity or a certain sin? Romans 3 reminds us that we are all sinners and that we have all fallen short, every last one of us. Instead, our readings challenge us to correct one another with the truth and to do it with love, but never to sit there and condemn or wholesale dismiss somebody from our community. There are certainly cases where people will have to be dismissed from the Christian community, excommunicated, because they are misleading the flock, and that is the bishop's job. But our job is to follow these three steps, to indeed correct one another, but as I said before, to do it with the truth, not with our hurt feelings, and to do it with love, not vengeance. And so, do you remember that last time that somebody hurt you? The last time somebody sinned against you? And was it really a sin or just a misunderstanding? Or maybe a loved one who needed your understanding? Did you go to them privately? Or did you post it all over Facebook? Were you really pursuing the truth or pursuing your anger, your vengeance, or your hurt pride? St. Ambrose says that no one heals himself by wounding another. And how did you treat that fellow Christian, or anyone else for that matter, who did not choose to repent? Did you choose not to speak to them? Or did you follow the example of Jesus in reaching out to the lowest sinner there is? Did you treat that person who sinned against you with the same love and generosity with which God has treated you?